hey, are you trying to recover and maybe even fall pregnant naturally? I thought that might be you. And if so, we have created our best ever yet resource for you. Totally free. This is a masterclass. I've called it my masterclass because I have put everything into this, right? This masterclass is designed for you if you have HA or have had HA and are dealing with suboptimal cycles and you're serious about restoring those babies to full optimization and you want to create the ideal foundation for a pregnancy. This is going to be for you. So in this masterclass, I'm going to provide you a lot of things, including a lot of case studies, mine, Ashley's and Mishi's, as well as lots of our past clients and what their challenges were and what they had to do to overcome it. And we cover a really wide variety of types of cases of HA. So everything from primary amenorrhea and missing periods for years and years to short-term amenorrhea and what we did to handle that situation as well, and how long it took these people to go from HA to pregnant with this system, and how long it took them to go from HA to ovulating, of course, with this system. So lots of information, lots of case studies, lots of stats. We go through why this is not a weight gain plan and how we actually divide you into phases, the three phases of HA, and determine what your starting point is so that you have a good idea of where you need to start with your actual changes in lifestyle and nutrition changes. We even cover questions like HA and people with a normal BMI and recovery for people who have had HA for too long. There's so much in this 60-minute masterclass. Y'all, I'm impressed. And at the end, I'll also be running you through how to get a free HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis through us, which is a part of our process for recovery and preconception clients that we're happily going to give you for free $99 as a massive thank you, of course, for joining the masterclass. So go to thehasociety.com/masterclass or head to our website and you'll find a link for it and find when the next available presentation is going to be. That's thehasociety.com/masterclass. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sharif, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
This is Maddie from Virginia, and you are listening to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the HA Podcast. You are getting one third of the trio today. It's just Mishi. Well, it's not just Mishi. I have a special guest today. This is one of my clients from a previous cohort of the Restore Your Fertility program, Melody. Melody, go ahead and say hi.
Hi.
So Melody has a really great story. She went from HA to ovulation in just about 12 weeks within the program. And, you know, it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies for her to get there. So we're going to go ahead and have her tell her story. And I know there are going to be nuggets in there that you guys are all going to be able to resonate with. But I'm going to go ahead, flip it over to you, Melody, so that you can tell your story, where it all began, you know, all of the adversity that you had to overcome throughout the process of recovery and where you're at now. So go ahead and take the floor, Melody.
Yeah, thanks, Mishi. My name is Melody. I'm 26 years old, and I'm from a suburb of Milwaukee in Wisconsin. And like many people, it's really hard for me to pinpoint where my story truly begins, because looking back now, I realize that I've probably had an unhealthy relationship with food, exercise, and body image for as long as I can remember, like many people, I think, that develop HA. I think that's partially because I am a person who loves to set goals for myself, and then I like have to check the box, like I have to accomplish it. And I'm kind of a control freak. So that seems to go hand in hand with AJ. But thinking back to like when I specifically realized like, wow, this is probably becoming a problem. The specific goal that I set for myself was when my husband and I got engaged in June of 2020, I decided that by the wedding, I wanted to be like, great. I wanted to be super fit, have a great body. So I set out to accomplish that goal. And I really kind of dove in deep, like 6 months leading up to our wedding. I decided I was going to go all in with lifting like 6 days a week. But in addition to lifting, I was doing like HIIT, like high intensity treadmill workouts, like 5 days a week. And then I was also walking like multiple miles in the morning and the evening. So it was like my, you know, my whole day was consumed with exercise. And it was pretty new. Like I had never gone that intense before. And then it was just became kind of like crazy and addicting because I like the weight just dropped off so fast.
I have a question really quick. Because like I 100% resonate. This is like my story as well. And especially if anybody went back and listened to my recovery story, it was all centered around my wedding. And I like went on an insane diet, lost a ton of weight, but it was all about like this wedding diet and looking perfect on my wedding day. And I'm assuming like you also like felt that pressure of like having to look a certain way to on your wedding day. Like, where do you think that came from?
I don't know. I think it comes from like, I remember looking at pictures of like when I got my dress and just looking at like Pinterest of weddings. And it's like every photo that you see is like this either like super skinny person in a great dress, or I always felt like I like hated my arms. Like it was like my one quality about myself. Like every photo I'd be like, oh, they just look gross. So I think that's what spiraled like my, okay, now I'm going to get like biceps. So I look like have great arms. I don't know. I think it's just society when you think about like weddings and just, you know, a girl thinks about her wedding for her whole life. So.
Yeah. I can totally resonate with that. And the arm piece of it. Like my arms used to be like one of my really big insecurities as well too. And I think that's like, you're in this like either strapless or like no sleeve dress. And yeah, you're totally right. Especially in all of those like Pinterest and wedding photos that you're looking over for inspiration. Like all of the girls have like spaghetti arms and you're just like, my arm is not going to look like that in my wedding dress. And so you just, yeah, I agree. There was a lot of, I didn't necessarily feel a lot of pressure from other people. It was certainly pressure that I put on myself because I had to fit into this mold that like, I don't know, I just created myself. But anyways, continue. So
yeah,
we're on a wedding diet for our wedding.
Yes. And I wasn't like tracking calories at that point. I just was like eating really healthy, which was fine. And it was great. And I accomplished my goal. And it's actually kind of funny because so the morning of our wedding was the very last period that I had. So I woke up the morning of the wedding and I was like, oh my gosh, I have my period. And I did have a hormonal IUD, but it was still pretty regular. Like I would still get it at least once a month. It would just be a lot lighter. And yeah, that morning was the last day of my period. So kind of a pivotal moment. And then of course, so after the wedding, I was like, okay, I just spent 2 years preparing and planning. I need a new goal. Like I need something new to look forward to. Mm-hmm. So I did some research and I also was worried about like, okay, I don't want to lose like my wedding body. Like what can I do? And I came across Andy Frisella's 75 Hard Challenge and I heard like a ton of people that were raving about it. And it's not supposed to be like a fitness challenge. It's supposed to be like a mental toughness. And I remember my husband laughing like, you don't need to do that challenge. Like, you know that you mentally are tough. Like, you don't need to do it. But of course, knowing myself, I needed to do it. And just for context and background, like now when I look back and I think about like, for normal people, it's probably fine. But for people that come from like an obsessive, already having like an obsessive exercise background, it's just kind of like recipe for disaster. It's 2 45 minute workouts every day. You have to follow a diet, no alcohol, no cheat meals. A gallon
and it's 75 days.
Yeah, there's like a little app where you track it. And if you miss a day, you have to start over at day one. So it's pretty intense. But I felt like it wasn't very different from what I was already doing. So I was like, yes, let's do it. I started in the fall.
That's pretty accurate that 75 hard is basically the recipe for all HAers.
Yes.
That's our starting point.
I know. And when I think the thing about the 75 hard was the fact of having no rest days was super tough. I mean, I was lifting 7 days a week, like super intense. Uh-huh. The cardio, I was more like, cardio was never my big, in college I ran marathons, but I was like balanced. And I really think it was more like the intense lifting. And then during the 75 hard, of course, I started like tracking macros and I found this new thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't know about this.
This new level of control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when I say tracking macros, it was like all protein and everything else was like, I don't care about carbs and fat. Mm-hmm. So that was a journey. I just can remember my entire life being dictated like by my workouts, by my meals. I would just turn down so many like social occasions because I would be worried about like what I was eating. It was just like, obviously in the moment I didn't see a problem. I basically had like a full pack of abs. I was like looking back at pictures, I realized like, wow, if I were to see anyone else that looked like that, I would be concerned. But I was just like, well, I'm so healthy. I'm lifting weights. I'm eating healthy. I really didn't see a problem with it at the time. And I do really think the 75 hard was what like actually stemmed like my HA and probably contributed to the, like the true loss of my cycle.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. But I didn't really like, I still wasn't getting a period, but I was just like, oh, it's just my IUD. Like no issues. I truly wasn't worried about it because I was so blindsided by like my goal. Like I have to reach my goal.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I, again, didn't really start to see a problem until, I think I finished the challenge in like November and I still just pretty much kept it up. But then in January of the new year, so that would have been last year. So 2023 is when mm-hmm. I really was like, okay, something is wrong. It's like warning bells. And at the time I remember thinking like, why is this happening to me? And now I'm like, it was such a blessing. I just started to develop some really extreme like stomach and GI issues where I couldn't eat. My stomach was just awful. Like I was in so much pain. I was in tears. And I saw like every doctor under the sun. I saw a GI. I had every lab drawn and basically they were like, nothing's wrong with you. You're perfectly healthy. You're totally fine. Mm-hmm. So of course it made me feel a little crazy, especially because I could tell like, I could just kind of tell in my mind, like it had to be a little bit hormonal, like my face would flush. I would get like hot flashes. It was just a weird mix of symptoms. And again, like every doctor was telling me that you're so healthy, you work out, like nothing is wrong mm-hmm. with you. So I kind of lived with that until like the summer. So like 6 months. And I always think like it was just such a rough time. Like I was just so sick all the time. Mm-hmm. And I did keep up my workouts. I cut out the cardio just because, you know, every doctor is always like, exercise is great for you. Like you don't want to pull back on your exercise
mm-hmm.
Until I saw an OB in the summer. So that was kind of like my turning point and my realization. I saw my current OB. He's great. But I do just think like doctors just have such a limit of knowledge. And even listening to people on the podcast, it's just like, I feel like I've just learned that doctors just aren't super knowledgeable about HA because I just think it's not something that they, I don't know, maybe they just because they can't fix it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, totally. I think they're certainly, they are great and we should, you know, utilize our doctors. I think you're totally right. They do have a limited knowledge base. And if they are not keeping up on current research or continuing to do any sort of continuing ed type education, they really miss out on that, you know, part of, you know, the menstrual cycle and what can happen being in a sort of energy deficit. And I think that, you know, there's such a focus on obesity being this huge epidemic that when they see somebody walking into their office who, you know, is the picture of health, which, you know, like, you know, looking the picture of health, I guess is what I should say. They can't get around that. They're like, well, this person is doing all of the right things. Like there surely isn't anything wrong. Like there has to be, something has to be wrong with the body, not like the other way around. There's like nothing wrong with this person's lifestyle. It's just that like health bias that kind of comes in a little bit. And it's like the walking unwell is what they're seeing, and not truly understanding the impacts of, you know, going to the extreme, just because that's not something that they see. They see more of the other side of the picture of people who are on the more unhealthier end. So, you know, no shade on them. They're doing their job.
Exactly. And he was able to give me, like, I just spilled everything to him. Like, here's what's been going on. Like, I'm crazy. And he basically, like, looked at me and he did an ultrasound and he saw that my ovaries were, had cysts on them. So he automatically was like, you're not crazy. I think you have PCOS. And he was also really real with me in the way where he said, like, look, you don't fit the normal, like, quote unquote mold for PCOS. He said, normally I would tell my patients, like, you need to lose weight and you need to cut out carbs. And he said, like, I would not tell you that you need to do that. He said, you know, if anything, you could gain a little bit of weight. But he wasn't, like, super fixated on, like, he didn't really ask me a ton about, like, my exercise and my eating habits. He more so said, like, let's just give it time. He took my IUD out. He said that my period should return in the next, like, 3 to 6 weeks. And he said, if it doesn't, just come back. And then, you know, when you're ready to have kids, we can prescribe you, like, Provera and Clomid. Mm-hmm. So I left there feeling like, hey, I finally have answers. Like, I think I was crying because I was just so excited. But then, of course, knowing me, I started like a deep dive, like every podcast, every research paper, I was like determined to learn everything there was to learn about PCOS. Mm-hmm. And in my findings, I was like, this just isn't me. Like, this doesn't sound like me. None of these things, like, I don't fit. And then in my research, I came across your podcast about, I think it was an episode like HA versus PCOS. And I remember when I clicked on the episode, I was like, HA? What is that? Mm-hmm. And I listened to it and I was like, I remember thinking, I was, of course, on one of my obsessive walks, like, they are speaking to me. They are saying, they must be talking about me right now. And I just was like, so taken aback. I think I even messaged Danny because I was like, I can't even believe this. Mm-hmm. And then of course I went on a deep dive. I think I listened to every single one of your podcast episodes. I was on summer break. So I was like, all right, I have all this time. And I just like, really was thinking like, this has to be me. But of course I had like that doubt in my mind of him saying mm-hmm. like the PCOS, and obviously they're very, very different.
That's a tough one, and it'll be something we'll probably talk about a little bit more a little later, but that is extremely tough when you get something like a seed planted in essence from a doctor. It could be PCOS. It could be being told that you are infertile, like things of that nature. That seed planting is something that sticks with a woman and is really, really hard to get over. And it's like something that you always go back to. So just something to keep in mind as we continue to go through her story, and we'll come back to that.
Yeah, because Mishi knows me well. Of course, I was always going back to that seed. But then it was just, you know, so eye-opening, and I had all this new information, and I don't think I said this earlier, but all of my lab work was completely normal. Like, it did not show PCOS. So that was another, like, I just felt like I was adding all these blocks of, like, I don't think that it's PCOS. But again, I'm not a doctor. I'm only a teacher, so I don't have a big realm of knowledge. So I just kind of continued with this. I did decide to cut back. I cut back my workouts to like 4 days a week, which I know doesn't seem like a ton, but for me it was. And I really was just walking. And then I went back to see him in October because it had been like 5 months and I still no period. I wasn't even like, I didn't feel like I was close. I didn't feel any hormonal. And he basically looked at me and said, like, you don't really look any closer to a period than you did when you were here in June. And he did prescribe me Provera. He was kind of hesitant about it, but I was like, I want it now. Like, you know, I maybe want to start trying for a baby in the new year. Like, I want my cycle back. So he prescribed me the Provera. And when I left there, I decided, I remember calling my husband and I was like, I'm giving up the gym. I'm done. It's like my identity. You know, I was like, everybody knew me there because I was there all the time. I just decided like, that was it. That was my last workout.
This was when you got prescribed the Provera.
Yes, in October. Yep.
And did you take it? And yeah, did you take it?
I did, and it failed.
Okay, so you failed, and then that's what prompted you to be like, "All right, I'm giving up exercise."
Because when it failed, I like realized, and he even told me this, like people with PCOS, like it doesn't fail. Like that's what he gives people with PCOS. And just like in my research, that's like what will help people stimulate a cycle so they can take Clomid. And I think the fact that I was taking this medication that was supposed to induce a bleed and it didn't work, like that was a wake up call for me. Like PCOS, we can deal with down the road, but if I even have that, HA has to be like the real problem here. That was something that I needed. Because yeah, so I completely gave up the gym. I, of course, as you know, I think it was about, I was trying to remember, I think it was about 4 weeks later that I saw the Restore program. Cause again, still like every day I was listening to the podcast. Loved you guys. You were so inspirational. I felt like my husband like knew who you were, cause I would always talk about it.
my new friends, my new internet friends.
And I remember hearing the advertise for the Restore Your Fertility program. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is great. Mm-hmm. I was 4 weeks into recovery at this time. And I was just like, I was feeling it. Like I was like feeling like it was never ending. I felt
so
like
when you're saying 4 weeks into recovery, you had quit all exercise, and what else, were there any other things that you had changed at that point?
Yeah. I started to eat more, like I made sure my breakfast was like really big, but really, mm-hmm. and I think like we kind of figured this out when you and I started working together, I was more so just like taking like my ground turkey and my meals. And I was just adding more of it. Not adding like full fat dairy and like other food groups.
Okay. Yeah. That's a really good point to add on. It's like, you cut back on the exercise, which was great. And then you increased your food, but it was increasing more of what you were already eating. Good to know. Okay. Continue.
Yeah. So then I remember, I was like, okay, I have to do this. Like it was like, I think the first week of December, I was super excited. I like filled out the forms and we met, and I just like, I remember telling you guys, like, I feel like a weight is being lifted off of me. I was like in the thick of not only like the weight gain, the like, I lost my identity, but also like I could really feel my hormones were starting to ramp up. For someone that doesn't, like I hadn't felt any of those types of changes. My last period was a year and a half prior. So it was just a lot at once. And I really felt like I would not have been able to do it without you guys, like as a support system, like needing. And then of course, when we went over my intake form and I realized like, okay, this is why I haven't had a period yet. Like when we really sat down and we realized like, okay, yeah, she gave up exercise, but she still walks 4 miles a day. It's funny. And
it's hard. And that's the thing that getting help or getting a coach is there for, is to see your blind spots. Because when we come from the backgrounds that we come from, like those things seem so innocent. Exercises or walking is not exercise. Like, and we just, the way we see things is through like rose colored glasses. And like, you need somebody to come lift the veil in essence, so that you can see how those things are impacting you. And it's also about the intentions too, behind those types of behavior of being like, well, yeah, cool, I'll totally eat more, but I'm also going to walk to make up for that. Like it, and because it's walking, it's so innocent. It's not that, but so it's all of these like really, really sneaky ways that we go about continuing to diet, and it flies under the radar because it's so significantly different from what we were doing, but it's still the intention behind the behaviors that really make the difference. And I think for you, that's truly what it was, because I think it was like, what, 2 weeks into the program is like when you first ovulated, but it's like, that's when we started like, you know, really being like, okay, that's a dieting behavior. And, you know, the fact that like, you know, I think too, you were in the program, and even though it was hard to be confronted with those like types of behaviors, and it wasn't easy for you to let go of them, I think there's that sense of feeling supported and that safety in, you know, trusting the process when you're being guided by somebody who's, you know, walk the walk, somebody who is very well versed in HA and the entire process. I think that gave you the comfort and the security to take the steps that you needed to. But I mean, you have your your own story. And like, what do you feel like it was that first 2 weeks? Like, I know you said, like, it feels like a weight was lifted off your shoulders. I think in another email communication that we had, it was like you were trying to ride a bike without a chain or something and just like not moving forward.
Yeah. I think it's just because I was like researching and reading like what other people did to get their cycle back. And it's so different for every person. Like, I even remember thinking like, it's so unfair that like all these fitness people don't have to worry about this. And then I remember thinking like, okay, maybe they do. Like, we don't know what other people go through or like what it takes other people to, you know, restore if they lose their cycle.
So true. And we also don't know if they even have a cycle or not. That is like such a good, because somebody at the retreat this weekend was like saying something like it infuriated her to, you know, it's unfair that there are women who can like just eat the half of a banana and go for a 6 mile run and it doesn't impact them. And I'm just like, well, how do you know that they can actually do that? Like, how do you know if they have a cycle? Like, are they ovulating? Is their cycle fitting in cycle parameters? Like, we really truly just have no idea somebody else's cycle health unless like they're showing you proof. And so it is so easy for us to go down that rabbit hole of comparison of being like, well, why can she do that and I can't do that? I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, she can't do that. I think a lot of these Fitspo accounts and fitness influencers like probably aren't ovulating. Maybe they are, and it's just suboptimal. Like, I just wouldn't allow your minds to go there just because, you know, what you see on the internet's not real.
Exactly. Exactly. And maybe that's just not their priority, but...
Hey, do you know what your blind spots are? As in, do you know what it is, what the thing is that is holding you back from getting your period back? Look, it could be an absolute plethora, cornucopia of things, but in our practice, the first place we tend to go is what behaviors and habits do you have around food that you may be still doing? And these are called blind spots because we just don't necessarily always know that they're an unhelpful habit or that it's something that we're doing, whether it be a subconscious or conscious need to control our food or our body, or whether it be something that you've just done for so long that it feels normal and like a preference even. We have created a checklist. It's a 3-page checklist that goes through food types, behaviors around food, and mindsets around food. And what you do is you go through the lists and you check off and you see which ones are you doing, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and how are they potentially affecting your recovery today. So it's a really simple checklist. It's just 3 pages. You go through it. There's a very simple scoring system to help you figure out how much this may be impacting your recovery. And it's just an insightful thing for you to do to help you reflect. And then you can journal about it, or you can learn more about it and just start really working at any of the boxes that you checked and understanding that they're playing a role in your recovery. So to get the checklist, all you have to do is go to thehasociety.com/blindspot, and we'll send it straight through to you. You can print it off. And you can check on it every now and then. I always recommend a reflection point every like 4 to 6 weeks. How are you going? Are you still checking that behavior off, or have you, you know, systematically kicked it to the curb? So check it out. It's thehasociety.com/blindspot, and it will be waiting for you there.
In my mind, I was like, you know, I've made it this far. Like the like the mindset shift was huge too. Mm-hmm. I think I was in that moment of like, all right, I am like whatever, 4 or 5, maybe it was 6 weeks. If I'm thinking back, like how long I was like all in, quote unquote, right? When I started working with you guys, I realized like, okay, I'm not truly all in yet. Like, buying like the full fat dairy. Like I couldn't believe that I was buying like full fat yogurt. But I do think it's like those small things, like
it truly is. And it's so funny that you bring that up, because anytime I get an intake form and I'll read it through, and it says like something like, I've been all in for, I don't know, 10 months, whatever it is. That sets me, I'm like, all right, I need to pay attention to XYZ on this person's intake form, because what we think is all in is typically not all in. But in the respect to the person, like when you're coming from such a restrictive background and you are like going all in, you're really getting, and in some cases, you're just getting yourself to maintenance. Like there has to, and when you're coming from like such a restrictive background, like, and you just eat more than that, anything more than what you were eating before is gonna feel like all in. And yeah, it is, in most cases, very far from it. And it's really uncomfortable to eat more, because there is this, you know, in our heads, we're just like thinking that it's the amount that you're going to need to eat is going to be more than you think is appropriate. And getting over that is really, really hard. And I know personally for myself, I was telling everybody I was all in, and I like, you know, even once I recovered, I was telling everybody that I had gone on this all-in journey, and like in retrospect, like looking back, like I was not all in at all. So this is like, not saying this to like, you know, make anybody feel bad about, you know, going on that all-in journey, but like I certainly was there too. And I thought I went all in, and like, you know, I had a really suboptimal cycle for a long time after, because I was still like playing the game, how low can you go? But I was yet all in. But anyways, continue. I think that is just like a really important tangent, especially when people are, if you've been at this for 6 months, and you, I would even say 3 months, and you are quote unquote all in, I think that it's time to kind of check in and assess, like, you know, are there areas that you're really, truly holding back? And are you playing the game? How low can I go? Potentially. And maybe reaching out for a consult with a like HA professional, or like hiring a coach of some sorts to be able to see your blind spots. Because like, if we're going all in for 3-6 months, like we should have already been there by now. But anyways, continue, Melody.
It's important too for people to know, like, it's like we've both been there, and people that are in it, like, it sucks. It's like the worst. Like, you feel like you're losing your identity. You feel like, why am I doing this if I don't have a light at the end of the tunnel? And mm-hmm. I remember thinking, like, I want this to be over as quick as possible. Like, I just need, like, to get there to, like, the end, quote unquote, which, again, was getting my period, just to make sure everything I was doing was worth it. And the day that I woke up with my period, it was like, this was worth it. Like, I'm so glad that I went truly all in and started working with you guys, because I couldn't imagine, like, mentally doing that for 6 months. Like, I just couldn't imagine, like, the toll that it would take on not only me, but, you know, my husband. Like, I was just so hormonally crazy. I just feel like it's so important to, once you're committed, just do, you know, surrender, do it. Because the day that you wake up with your period, it will be all worth it.
And I think I remember you saying something like your husband, like, was happy that you guys could finally have the same meal or something.
Yeah. You know, when I was on like my like crazy, like orthorexia, like obsessed with clean eating, it would be like, okay, I have to have my like 99.1% fat chicken, and you can have your like regular beef. Like, it just, he was excited when I switched to like full fat, like meat, that we could like, wow, we can cook together. We can have the same meal. So
you guys can eat what he's hunting now.
Yeah. Yes. And it just really, like, you know, like, to anyone out there that is worried, like, I always think, like, gaining the weight for me, and I think for most people, is the most difficult piece. You know, once you're through it, you'll realize, like, you gain so much more. Like, you gain, like, your relationships, your experiences back. You get to find new hobbies. Like, I'm like, wow, there's life outside of the gym. And it just really, like, is so freeing, because you're no longer controlled and dictated by, like, when am I going to get my workout in? What am I going to eat next? So it really is like you gain so much more.
Yeah. And I think through the process to, once you become into a more nourished state, like, you are less in survival mode, and you also are, you know, have the hormones that you need, so that you can, you know, be a little bit more logical. And so, yes, gaining weight in the beginning, I mean, it's always going to be tough to a certain extent. It's not like once you get to the destination, you get your period, all of it goes away. There's still so much work that you were still, you know, doing throughout the process and will continue to do. I mean, just because of the world that we live in, it's just, it's not going to change. It is what it is. And it is a continuous everyday choice to make to, you know, really ignore the messaging that you're getting from the world that you need to change your body. But, you know, there is a point of once you're becoming more fully nourished that like you just are less in the scarcity, less in the, I need to change my body. This is going to be the worst thing ever. You just come into a little bit more of a calmer and more logical mindset. And then, yeah, like Melody said, like you start to realize how much life you are gaining in the process and how much life restriction stole from you. And it's really hard to, I'll just speak for myself. It's really hard to go back. Like you're just like, you know, it might suck being in this bigger body. It might feel like it sucks at that point in time, but like, you're just like, but if I want to go back to that place, that means I have to give up X, Y, Z. And so having the experience of both spectrums is really great because then you have choice. You know what both choices give you. One gives you a very restrictive life and another one gives you a more fulfilled life. And so it's like just allowing yourself to kind of dive in, do that really tough and hard work and allowing yourself to have that experience so that like, you know, that's the thing that keeps you going forward. But anyways, going on another tangent, I'll let you continue on your story.
Yeah. So I think it was almost exactly like a little under 8 weeks, but after we started working together, I think it was only 2 weeks that I, you know, woke up and I had my period back and I was just so over the moon excited, like everything that I've been working towards. And I just felt like a sense of calm. So that was really great. Yeah, so super exciting.
But after you got your period, it was not smooth sailing.
Kind of figured, I remember like, I would like be super excited listening to like the podcast of like after you get your period back. And I like kind of recognized and realized that like the reality is that when you have been like without a cycle for me, it was a year and a half. It's very unlikely that it's just going to become like, wow, a perfect luteal phase, a perfect cycle.
That's such a good point.
Like, little, like I remember we were in a call and everyone was like, huh, I don't really know what's going on. I pretty much like bled for the entire month. And I was like, no, but again, with your guidance, like we realized that I need to increase my carbs a little bit more because of my progesterone. And then it worked because my January cycle was like a perfect 28 days. It was great. And then my third recovery cycle never came because I was pregnant. So yeah, what I was just working towards, I think when I sent you the picture, I was like in shock. Like I had no idea. Like when I saw my doctor, even after I had recovered my cycle, he still was like kind of clinging to the PCOS diagnosis a little bit. And he basically said like, if things don't normalize in a couple months, like we will start you on like some type of fertility, like Clomid or something like that. So like that was, I think, in January. So I was so crushed. Like, I can't believe this.
I know. I remember. Okay. I'm remembering this conversation because you were just like, oh my gosh, I was so excited. And I know that feeling of like, you know, you've done the research and you're going to the doctor and you're just like, they're going to be so proud of me. I cannot wait to share this information with them. And I can't wait to almost have this partnership with them and us talking about my cycle and me showing him my chart and doing all of these things. And then you get there and you have this completely different experience. And you're just like, what the heck just happened? That is not how I thought things were going to play out. I thought he was going to be just like over the moon and just being like, oh, you're doing so great. I'm so proud of you.
But I was excited, but he was like, he still was just clinging to like, he was just like, was saying like, your ovaries just don't look like you're ovulating. But of course, you know, I had like my chart and I was like, look, look, like I'm temp tracking. I know that I'm ovulating. He was like looking at my chart. He's like, wow, like, yeah, this kind of look, I don't know. He just was very like inconclusive. But I left there feeling defeated. And then 3 weeks later, I had a positive test.
Yeah. So
he was like, wow, like this is, he's like, I never would have guessed. Like, this is like a miracle. This is so exciting.
Not a miracle. I mean, yes, pregnancy is always a miracle, but everything, like you had so much context to the situation. Like you knew what was going on. And so I think that's a really good point because like, we can go to the doctors and we can get certain, like your situation is a really great example of like, yeah, you might go in there and probably be a little bit crushed by what he said. But whenever you have the knowledge about your body, whenever you understand your cycle, you can go in there and just being like, yeah, it kind of sucks that he said that, but I have more context to the situation than he does. Like, I'm just going to take what he said with a tiny grain of salt. And I know myself, I know my body, and I know what's going on. And you're less likely to go on that roller coaster of like, this is never going to be possible for me. I have PCOS, or like, I'm never going to be able to get pregnant. Like, of course, those doubts creep in, but you have so much more evidence. And I would also say like confidence, feeling super empowered to just being like, I just know that's not actually the reality, because you're always going to have that like first initial negative voice. I think that's just unfortunately as how we are wired as humans, but having all of that context and that information is great because you're able to fight that off, which I think is exactly what you were doing. And it's just so interesting how he brought up the PCOS thing, because I think constantly through our relationship, that was something that we were always talking about, was the PCOS diagnosis, because it was something that was brought up prior. And then throughout your cycle, you're like, why am I just bleeding all of the time? Like, it, your first couple cycles were, they were like, they were a little all over the place, but kind of like you were saying, like, it's just, the body is just like working itself out, and it's not, you know, PCOS. It is just the, it's just a result of healing. Like, your body's just trying to work out the kinks and things of that nature. I think that, I'm trying to remember why you might have thought it was PCOS once you got your cycle back. Was it because you had gotten labs taken and like your LH to FSH ratio?
I think my LH was a little high, but then I remember Ashley saying like, your LH might be a little higher than your FSH, but it is like, she's like, it's still very low. Like, you know, people with HA, their numbers are so much lower. Like, I remember peeing on those ovulation sticks, and it was like, the number was so low that it couldn't even detect it on my app. So low. So I remember Ashley like affirming and making me feel better about like, your numbers would be like three times this level if it was something.
Yes, like, yes, yes, exactly. Because the ratio was slightly off, but it was it was nothing close to what PCOS would be. But if you're on the internet or you're reading certain things, you just are hanging on to LH and FSH ratio. That means PCOS, and you have no other context besides that. And, you know, and I think sometimes some doctors may also be hanging on to that as well without actually having a lot of context of the situation. And so you chase that PCOS rabbit hole. And, you know, I think a lot of the, well, I don't think I know, you know, a lot of the PCOS advice out there is very, is not conducive to healing from HA. It's actually going to probably, you know, worsen your HA, keep you in the hole. And I would say that even a lot of the PCOS information out there is more symptom management, and it's actually not helping you with your PCOS at all. As well. So it's just something to be super, super mindful as you're like going through this journey, because yes, it is completely possible to have HA and PCOS both. It's super rare that that would happen. But the thing that you're always going to want to be taken care of first is the HA. And I think that's like something that you mentioned in the beginning of your journey as well, where you're just like, all right, if this is PCOS, like we're going to worry about it down the road, but I certainly needed to take care of this HA right now.
Yeah. And I think it's just good and like good for anyone out there to know, because I just think that, you know, when you look it up, it's, I don't know the exact number, but it's just a crazy amount of women now that are diagnosed with PCOS. And I just think like there are so many other things, because really it's just like a hormonal disorder, and there just are so many other things that it could be. So anybody out there that's listening that's like, this doesn't sound like me, like I would always just recommend like either getting a second opinion or just like really going with your gut and like what you know about yourself.
Yeah. And something about like, you know, especially for Melody's case, because even after she was like this, you know, getting from her doctor that this is potentially still PCOS once you recovered, and still having that like, you know, seed of doubt in there that this could potentially be PCOS. Like a lot of people are probably going to be getting like, we talked about the LH and FSH ratio, and how that can be a little imbalanced as you recover as well, because hormones are working themselves out. But the other thing too, is going to be like the presence of multiple follicles on your ovaries. And that is something that it's part of the criteria, but of diagnosing PCOS, which it really shouldn't be. And because they're seeing those as cysts, but they're not cysts. They're just like multiple follicles, which is, you know, that is something that we would expect to see in somebody who is recovering from HA, recovered from HA, or on the spectrum of HA. And because this is just because there is going to be the recruitment of multiple follicles as like you are trying to recover. Like this is, you know, not a result of PCOS, but reflective of healing. And so that's something to really, really keep in mind as you're like going on this journey. And there's actually some really great studies out there. And I think this is one that I even sent you. And I think it's just a group over 100 women that they did who had recovered from HA. And 28 of those women, once they recovered from HA, presented as PCOS. With the follicles and the LH and FSH ratios being off there. But 6 months to a year later, things all like ironed out, and turns out they didn't have PCOS, but it was just those 28 women who, you know, it presented as PCOS as they were healing. So I think it's great that there's like some research that they're doing out there on this topic. And maybe I'll link it in the show notes so you guys can take a look at it, because I do know that this is something that a lot of women are concerned about, and a lot of women are being misdiagnosed with. But anyways,
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess, yeah. So your period was gone for a year and a half, and then it took you what? It was like 8 weeks. No, sorry. Weeks. Two.
Yeah. Almost exactly to the day.
Yeah. To recover. And then, you know, through the program working with us, you know, I think it was like 12 weeks that you were able to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I was very surprised. I was like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, whatever it was like 4 months ago, I didn't have a period. I didn't have anything. So
And I know you kind of sprinkled in there a little bit of some of the changes you made. But what were some of the biggest changes you made that you feel like helped make the biggest difference in your ability to recover?
Yeah, so definitely, like I said, swapping out, like, you know, everything in our house was like low fat. Like, I don't know why, like, women or people that are like obsessed with dieting are terrified of fat. I don't know.
We can blame the 90s for that.
That's very true. Yeah, so I think swapping that out. I also think adding in, like, I remember when we were doing like the food logs. And like you were saying, like, okay, we, you know, like the snacks, like, I think I was just going such long amounts of time, like in between breakfast and lunch. So adding in those like little snacks throughout the day, super helpful. I think that really helped like balance. I think it's like blood sugar levels, right? That helps.
Yep.
And then just, you know, cutting back on the walking. Like I was like, okay, my dog does not need a 4 mile walk every day. I still was, cause I know there are people out there like me that were like, I can't I can't give it all up entirely. So I still think I was walking maybe 20 minutes a day, but at like a leisurely pace where my husband wasn't like, okay, I'm chasing after you. Why are you going so fast? It was just like a more of like a calming, like relaxing, not like, okay, I have to like speed walk to get my.
Yes. And the other thing with your walking is before, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you were doing it in the morning. Some of it was in the morning and it was fasted. Correct. So we changed that. Like no more, like it was breakfast, like within 30 minutes of waking up. And then your walking was,
oh my gosh, I'm having like, I don't even remember what it was. It was like, you know, four eggs and just like things I couldn't fathom eating right now because I'm in the thick of the first trimester. So I'm
thinking of eggs would make you want to vomit. Well, thank goodness you had those eggs prior.
I know. Yeah. And I think it was, we even kicked it up to like two pieces of toast, like just things where the old me would have been like, I can't believe I'm doing this, but it works. Like it truly was. I think, like I said, we started working together 2 weeks. And I really think too, mentally, I just had to like surrender everything. Like I was like, I am going to do whatever Mishi tells me because I am not a unicorn. I remember hearing that on podcasts, like people saying like unicorn syndrome, where they thought like, it's going to work for everyone except for me. And I did think that until I like, you know, started seeing the signs of like, I could just feel like hormonal activity, like cramping. And I got so excited, like, oh my gosh, it means I'm getting closer. So I just think like the surrender and realizing like, this has worked for so many women. I'm not a unicorn. I just have to like surrender to the process.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And that really truly is, you know, I think what it takes, but saying that is so much like easier than like the act, like the action of doing it, because surrender and actually truly letting go of the control is what we're all struggling with. Like there's probably a lot of people who are probably just pressing like, you know, next podcast when they hear the word surrender. They're like, no, that's not happening. I'm not going to do that. But it truly is when you, there's so much about the intentions behind the things that we're doing and the stress that that puts on our body, because what's in our mind is in our body. And we think that these are like two separate things, like working. It's like, no, your body knows exactly what your mind is thinking. Like it is not separate. You cannot try to trick your body. You cannot try to control it. And like when we really truly surrender and we let go of those things, like that is telling our body that like, okay, abundance is available. And that's all that it needs to know, is that, okay, food is always available. Energy is in abundance. That creates safety. And in that safety, like, you know, your body is able to do what it needs to do. And, you know, it's really, it's much harder to do than say, but I think also whenever you have the support team and people, not only just a support team, but people who've walked the same walk as you have, like it's easier to be like, all right, I trust you and I trust this process, versus just like trying to do it on your own, which, you know, is also totally possible. Well, so kind of want to wrap this up. I don't want to keep you all day long, even though I could talk to you all day. What is like one or many, doesn't matter, however much context you want to add to this, like if you were giving like your previous self advice to get through this, what would that be? Like, what advice did you need to hear when you were going through this process?
Yeah, I think I needed to hear, and I would just like read quotes about like what it's like when you get to the other end. Like, even though it may seem never ending, because we both know it felt like that in the moment. Everything that you're going through can't compare to how it will feel when you reach whatever goal you're working towards. So whether that be like, you just want to get a period, or like nothing can compare to people that have been trying and trying, you know, restoring to get pregnant, like the positive test, just thinking about what it's going to be like on the other end, because I feel like every day I needed to think about that, just to keep me motivated.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's hard too, because like, I think it kind of goes a little bit back to that like unicorn syndrome, because you're just like, yeah, that person can have that. And, but it's hard for me to have that. And I think that's, that kind of thought process is something to like reflect on, like Would you believe that like you're undeserving of a life full of happiness? Or why would you believe that like you're undeserving of the ability to recover? Like that's something to certainly dig into if those are the, you know, when you're hearing that of being like, ah, I can't put myself in that position, like whatever. I would get really curious about why you think that, in essence. But thank you, Melody. That was so great. And I think it's going to be so inspiring because, like, I know that I resonated with a lot of things in your story, especially like around, like, you know, losing my period around my wedding. And then I still, like, after it was for like 2.5 years, didn't have a period because I was trying to keep up that wedding body. I didn't like want to let myself go. Like that was like the hardest thing is like I didn't want to be the wife who like let herself go. And I don't even know where those thoughts came from, but I had them. And I think a lot of people will be able to resonate with like, you know, both you and I, we didn't let ourselves go at all by any means. We actually let ourselves be. And I think our husbands are actually so much happier. So, appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And I think so many women are going to get so much from this story. So, thank you so
Sounds
much.
good. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Bye. But you don't have to hang up. Let me just find the stop button.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about the Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction. Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHA Society. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHA Society at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.